Good evening. Is this in a good spot? Everybody hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. First off, Ms. Han wanted me to ask, she has a mystery dinner, right? Mystery dinner coming up. She's wondering, show of hands, how many people might be interested in that? I'm going to throw out the number 25. She wanted me to speed count. All right. So I lost part of my message, so it's about 10 minutes shorter than it should be, which is fine because actually I have a small story I want to tell before it anyway, so it fits. So playing with my kids at night, you know, I like to go through a routine with them and everything. I like to spend a lot of time with my kids at night, you know. I didn't get a lot of that when I was young, so really good to do with them. I lay on the floor and I'd be playing toys with them and stuff. Well, one night, Jax, he comes up and he grabs a blanket and he lays it over me. Goes, grabs his pillow, puts it underneath me. He sits down, he puts his hands together and he says a little prayer. Gets up, walks to the light, says, "Night, night, Daddy," and turns it off and leaves. Okay. So I want to say maybe a week and a half later, laying down, playing toys with him again. Abel takes a blanket, lays it over me. Grabs a pillow, puts it under me, goes to the kitchen, comes back with a spoon and says, "Go to sleep," and walks away. So, with that, you know, I never had much for parents. My parents were very worldly people, just very, very bad people. They left me when I was 11. They left my sister when she was 14. So for me to be raising kids that understand, you know, the routine, doing the prayer and everything, that's awesome. And I get that from all of you. Everything that I've learned and that I've put together in my life and have been able to give down to my children has come from watching all of you. And I really appreciate that. And because of you guys, because of this church God has given us, you know, I'm able to have godly children that are just going to be better than what's out there in the world. So thank you all for your examples. So anyways, on this journey, we've lost a lot of brothers and sisters. As a lot of you know, I've been here, I'm 29, so I've been part of this church for 27 years. Seen a lot of friends come and go. Just going to throw names out there because I'm going to get personal with this. Becky, Jessica, Steve Miller, John Pavic, and Paul Tuck. All people that were very close to me, grown up with for a very long time, all gone. And I've gotten to sit and talk with a lot of them and hear their excuses on why they left. You know, and it's always, this person did that, that person did this, everyone's cliquish, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a period, too, where I also didn't come around much. And there was a lot of anger towards a lot of you that kept me from coming here. And I would show up every once in a while, and I'd sit here and I'd stare at some of you, and I was so mad at you. Just so hurt over things that probably none of you even did. You know, just excuses on reasons not to come. And sitting back, you know, honestly questioning what was going on and looking, realize it's not the church's fault that they've left. It wasn't my fault that I wasn't here. Or no, it wasn't the church's fault that I wasn't here. It was my fault. It's their fault they're not here. There's collecting thoughts. You know, basically, we let things bother us, and we let it fester up, some of us, to where our countenance falls, and it kills us. We step away. It keeps us from the life and freedom, you know, that God gave us, that we should really be a part of, and we're busy being children. Let's go to Genesis 4, starting in the second half of verse 2. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you must master it. Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. What happens when we let these things happen? We let that sin in. We let Satan in the door to push us away, and our countenance does fall. Instead of strengthening ourselves in the church, in our brothers, we walk away and we fall. We come up with excuses, you know, that these people didn't like me, these people wouldn't hang out with me, whatever. But none of that's true. It's the fact that we're not right in our own hearts. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And just real fast, let me shoot over to Matthew. Matthew 11, 25 and 26. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. Cain was in a position where he messed up, and he felt it was Abel's fault, that somehow Abel was better than him, and he created jealousy, it created anger. And Abel didn't do anything, but instead of Cain just forgiving and letting it go, he let it fester. He let himself fall apart. So he died, and his brother died, and he was no longer alive with God. He actually pushed out, away. There's a lot of times when our brothers in the assembly may do something, and we don't go, we don't talk to them, we don't forgive them, and we let it build up to where we're talking bad about them. And we do everything we can to stay away from that person. There's other times someone in the assembly might do something, and they don't even know they did anything, and we still don't go talk to them. We still don't put it back together. So we can have that relationship, that fellowship where we're building up one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So once again, we see there, we get angry with each other, and if we don't take care of it, if we let the sun go down, we still have that anger, and it festers and builds up. We allow Satan to creep in. But if we forgive, if we forget, if we talk it out with one another, build each other back up, nothing but glory. There's a big time. Me and Roger and Nathan were really good friends growing up. Spent a lot of time together. I mean, I was like brothers with both of them. Something happened at some point that drove me and Roger apart. And it was nothing that was his fault at all. But I took it as being his fault. And I pushed him away and I kept myself from him for a long time. And it ended up going to a point where I took myself away from the church because of that. And Roger ended up going through some troubles of his own down the road. And because I wasn't around, because I didn't forgive him, he had to go through that stuff on his own. If I would have been a better man, I would have forgiven him, even though he didn't do anything. I could have been there with him. I could have helped him through that. And I also wouldn't have fallen away during that time. Same thing with Nathan. I mean, you and me, dude, we were best friends, man. Sorry. I love you, dude. When you came to my house that morning at 3 a.m. just to hug me, that was awesome. And the fact that I kept us separate for so long, I let you go through the things you went through, instead of just embracing you back and saying, you know, I love you, I'm sorry. And helping you out during those periods, it's also letting you help me out during those periods, man. I was wrong. I left us both, you know, to go out in the desert and die. I'm sorry for that. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. What Jesus is saying there, he's not giving us an exact count. You know, that's not for us to start tallying it up. Okay, Luke's at 69. He's pushing it. You know, a couple more months, done with him. What he's saying is, as often as someone messes up, as long as they're willing to get back up and try again, we forgive them. And we help them. And we push through. In our marriages, you know, we fight with our spouses. And we forgive them continuously. Why? Because we're stuck with them 60, 80 years? Why not more so with the church when we have to spend eternity with each other? We have to see each other from then on, forever. We should not go to heaven with chips on our shoulders. I don't even think Jesus will let us in with a chip on our shoulder. We have to love each other. We have to forgive. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went, threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. God forgave us our sins that separated us from him. He sent his Son down who died and bore that. And for us not to forgive, you know, simple little things. She said this, he said that. How sad is that? Now, seeing forgiveness in the body, but what about outside of it? How do we deal with those outside of the church? Matthew chapter 5, verses 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's easy to love someone when things are going good. You know, it's easy to love someone who's of like mind with you. But those who aren't, those who persecute you, Obama, gosh, it's hard to love that guy. You know, but we have to. You know, it's not his fault he's where he's at. He's trapped by the same guy that used to trap us. You know, he's a trophy for us to grab and bring back to heaven. We have to love him. Acts chapter 7. Verse 54. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he, Stephen, gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. The worst thing that could happen, they're killing him. And at that moment, he still begged for their souls. It didn't matter. The important thing was them and where they needed to be, where they needed to go. See, I'm going to run through just a couple quick ones to close up here. Matthew 22:36-40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. In Mark 12:31, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. The purpose in that is, we love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves, as much as we love God, we do not lose focus. We understand that everything we do is for them, no matter what they do, no matter what's going on, no matter what persecution's happening, we do it for them. They are our trophies. They are the ones who need to be saved. They are who this war is over. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. No matter what happens, no matter what any of our brothers or sisters do to us, no matter what them outside there do to us, if we remember the love Christ had for us, the love and forgiveness we have for them, everything stays on track. Everything works. We don't lose focus. And we win. We've already won. And with that, that's it.